Welcome back to another Ref 6 weekly podcast, or podcast, because we don't know how weekly these are going out. In fact, they're not going out weekly, where we're going to talk about pre-season this week. So, obviously, in the last vlog, we spoke about the off-season and how we trained, how we switched off. And this week, we're going to talk about pre-season because we have officially passed our fitness test. Congratulations to you, sir.
And to you.
It was a hot old day in the middle of June, but we've completed our sort of off-season training. I've done my first preseason game. You've done your first preseason game. So we're going to talk about all things preseason, such as how we're going to train. Is it any different to our off-season training? What type of games we can do as referees, and what you can do as referees as well, whether that be a step up, two steps up, five steps up. Can you ref a Premier League game in the off-season? As well as, do we get nervous? Those kind of feelings about dust shaking the rust off after what will be 6-8 weeks out. From not refereeing, and as well as we're going to open up with Dan Durso's famous law questions. Take us away.
So, just like the last pod, I've got three law questions for you, and again, we'll go through the answers towards the end of the pod. So, the first question is, the referee has awarded a free kick to Team A. While the kicker feints to kick the ball, an opposition player moves closer than the required distance, 9.15 metres or 10 yards, and interferes with the kick before the ball is in play. So what is the correct decision? So the second one is a bit of an obscure one again, as you'll know if you saw the last pod, tuned in last time. I do like to throw some obscure ones out there for you to really test you. So, while the ball is in play, a spectator throws a bottle on the field towards a player who's running with the ball close to the touchline. The player stops running to avoid the bottle. What is the referee's decision?
Cry.
Yeah, other than blow the whistle and say, what do I do next?
Yeah.
And finally, the third question. A goal kick has been played by Team A. An opponent, member of Team B, enters the penalty area before the ball is kicked and fouls a Team A player. What is the correct decision?
Interesting. So, yeah, well, they're the questions. In roughly half an hour, you'll find the answers. But no cheating, please. But let's dive straight into this week's podcast, which is pre-season. So the first news is the FA have announced a change of badge. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it goes along with what we mentioned in the previous pod about kit being provided for, I believe, level 4s up to level 2B.
Yep.
And assistants obviously operating within those steps of the game as well in the non-league system. It's quite nice as a referee to be at that level now where you're getting the free kit as such, to be provided with some of your match day stuff. I'm kind of have the newer style of kit on, but the badge is still the old one, because this is a training top that I bought last year. As we discussed previously, much more a bigger fan of the grey rather than the vault. I think in terms of the new badge, I just think it brings everybody under the same kind of umbrella, really, again, in terms of those steps that the kit's being provided for. And just make sure that we're all wearing the same thing and everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, so for anyone listening that doesn't know what the FA have done, basically from level 4 to level 2B, there's a new badge, a new FAMOA badge there. So they're discontinuing what Durso's wearing now. So if you're watching along or listening, Google the FAMOA badge. It's basically the FA badge in black and white with referee under it. And if you're watching along, I'll put the new badge up here, which is a blue badge, which I thought was a bit rogue, with the words match official underneath. So that would be used between levels 4 and, like Durso said, 2B. And anybody under that will be required to wear their county badge or their league badge, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, so the competition that they're actually refereeing or officiating in is what they're going to have to wear as instead of the new badge that's been provided.
So, you know, it's a nice incentive. We've ordered our kit, which is the first time I've had to order kit from the FA, which is exciting. Like Durso said, it's going to be this grey and black with the new badge on it. So when that comes in, we'll do a pod in it. Durso is obviously lucky enough as well to be a step one assistant, so gets the EA kit, which is the same kit, I believe, but just with an EA logo on it.
Yeah, so I think it's the same kit in terms of the grey instead of the vault again for this year, and I get no badge other than the sponsor badge, which is the EA Sports.
And then you have to change the badge depending if you're on the National League, Premier League 2 and stuff.
Yeah, so on the match day shirts, you have the EA Sports sponsor on the sleeves for the match day top itself for the actual game. And then we get given some badges in regards to our competition that we're actually operating on. So just like anyone from level 5, and now I think level 5 to level 10, I think is
9 yeah.
levels. Level 9. They will wear their badges for whatever competition, excuse me, that it is that you're operating on. And for step one assistance, we will change the badge according to whether we're in a National League Premier fixture or whether we're on a Premier League 2 fixture.
Yeah, so there's a lot to think about there. And if you've got any questions, let us know in the DMs and we'll answer them the best we can. But we're only going on for what we've been told in terms of what this new badge is. I know there was a lot of confusion, especially on Twitter the day it was announced. I believe it was announced in June. So, you know, there's hopefully that's answered a few questions and stuff. But pre-season Thursday, so we passed the fitness test. We discussed that that pre-season starts the day after, for you, 10 days after. I did my first pre-season game, which the vlog will probably be in and around this time as well, which was Horsham versus Eric and Belvedere, I think it was. Earth and Belvedere, they came up from the County League. It was good. Shook some rust off. What about you?
Yeah, as you say, I think it's shaking that rust off. I think pre-season games is about finding that balance of making sure that you're still applying everything correctly in terms of laws, making sure that the pre-season kind of rules and regulations circulated by the FA are followed in terms of technically no rolling subs or anything like that for certain steps and up. I'm sure John will be able to clarify on that, being the fountain of all FA guidelines and law knowledge. Yeah. If not, I'm sure that he'll put something on screen whilst we're talking just to clarify what it is if we can't clarify it now. But in terms of, just shaking off that rust, and I think players sometimes, it's good because sometimes players are quite understanding that our first game back, it can take a bit of getting used to, just as it is for them. They might have a few wayward passes or a few wayward shots. We might sometimes make a few interesting decisions that we might not make during the middle of the season when we're in full flow. So, in terms of first one for myself, was quite happy with it and just wanted to go out there and just enjoy it and get back into the flow and also just get back into that pre-match routine as well.
Yeah.
Of turning up to the ground, having a chat with the assistants, having a chat with the clubs, and just kind of getting back used to that environment as well.
Yeah. So we'll take a step back. Training. A topic that I personally love talking about, obviously massively Wham. And does it change from the off-season to the pre-season?
Yeah, 100%. I mentioned in the previous pod about how we kind of ease into it more in terms of off-season, and then pre-season is the time where we kind of maybe go that little bit harder because we really are preparing and it is our final opportunity, like some of us, to actually really, really work. Not that we don't work hard, but to really ramp things up and to really lift heavy or to really train the legs that we might not be able to do because we've got to preserve them for match day. Definitely different to off-season training. Pre-season is really about ramping up and getting ready for that first proper game, first weekend of August for us to start. So, it's really quite different because we're kind of ramping up as opposed to easing into it.
I see. I go things slightly differently as well, because I would have done all this ramping up in off season.
Yeah.
Basically, what I spend pre season trying to do is get my routine sorted in terms of training to start peaking for match day again. So I slowly transition back from a 5-day split, we call it, so push pull legs, lowers uppers, which is obviously very focused on building power and speed, and then going back to a 3-day split in the gym, which is legs push pull, legs on a Monday, push on a Tuesday. Speed interval on a Wednesday, pull on a Thursday, speed session on a Friday, and then I'll do a match replica session, which you can get in the link in our description as well. Plenty of match replica sessions in our fitness plan, and you know, Sunday recovery. So I try and basically from now gear up as if match day was on a Saturday, which is quite an interesting way of going about things.
And I've done some of those match replication sessions, and whilst they're very, very beneficial, I can assure you it's much more fun being out there doing an actual game than doing one of them. So.
Yeah, they're gruelers, absolutely gruelers. But they're good. They're good. They prepare you for running, walking, sprinting, which is important because, you know, it's easy to go for a 10K. But say it's easy to go for a 10K run. You can go for a 10K run or do these sort of cardio sessions, but they don't bring you the same benefit as being out on the grass.
The variation of the speeds of movement that you need to do out on a pitch is something you need to replicate on a Saturday and replicate it as best as you possibly can building up to the season, right?
And no amount of training can ever prepare you, it feels like, for what actually happens on a match day.
Yeah, you call it a match replication session, but you can't truly replicate
it. Yeah, no, there's no way we can do it.
Hence why pre-season games are so good, because, yeah, shaking off the rust.
Yeah, so, speaking of pre-season games, we're all booked up. Some people like to do 2 games a week for 6 weeks, yeah? From the start of July to the beginning of August. 2 games a week, as many games as football. Get back into football. What are your thoughts?
I definitely feel like you can overdo it. So, yeah. I personally wouldn't be one of those people doing 2 games a week for 6 weeks.
How many do you roughly do?
Generally, I roughly maybe aim for 1 or 2 according to each kind of duty as a match official. For instance, only maybe 1 or 2 in the middle, 1 or 2 on the line, and potentially a 4th official, just to kind of get used to watching a game from an outside perspective, because you're still there as an active match official.
Yeah.
But it is nice. Maybe sometimes, actually, I think last pre-season, my first game was as a 4th official, and that was quite a nice way to ease back into it.
Yeah, nice.
I didn't have the physical elements of it, but I was able to put myself in the referee's shoes and say, what would I be doing here? And kind of mentally getting back into the game prior to doing it physically at the same time. So this pre-season, obviously, I didn't have the opportunity to do that. My first one was refereeing with the whistle straight away. But I definitely think that last pre-season was definitely worthwhile in terms of being 4th official first, because it allowed me to dip my toes into the water to start with, as opposed to just going straight in, diving at the deep end.
No, that's a nice way of looking at it. I'm very similar, I think, especially at this level that we're at, and even in grassroots level, like when I did that grassroots game, Sunday league game, the thing, I give everything to football, so mentally and physically I'm done. So if I do like 15, 16 games in pre-season, that basically reduces my end of season. So it means I'll probably start burning out, in inverted commas, about February time.
We want to make sure that we're peaking actually in the season, right?
Yeah, not pre-season.
You feel like you could burn yourself out in pre-season, and after you've done 2 or 3 games, you feel like you're ready for the season to start.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
and then therefore you're ready to crack on.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. The one thing that, the mistake that I've made this year in pre-season is I haven't booked in a line. And towards the back end of last season, I actually seemed to be picking up on the line, which was something that, you know, we weren't overly confident about. So that might disadvantage me the first couple of games of the season, but we'll see. I'll hopefully try and book in one line before we start again, really. But a lot of people have messaged me, Ref6, on Instagram, and asking about what kind of pre-seasons they can do. So is there any FA directives about what level of football you can do? Can a level 7 do a Premier League game? No, unfortunately. Sorry, everyone out there. Not even I could do that. But do you know what the directive is when it comes to the level of football you can referee in pre-season?
I'm not 100% fully aware of it, but my understanding is that the highest level of the team that you are officiating or refereeing for should only be one level above what you currently operate at.
That is correct, yeah.
So that's kind of where you are in terms of, so for instance, for John and myself, refereeing at step 3 and 4, we would be able to referee a step 2 fixture, or a fixture where the highest team involved is a step 2 team. But we wouldn't be able to referee, say, a National League Premier team or a Football League team, because that's 1 and 2 steps above the levels that we operate at the moment.
So, yeah, spot on. We can only do one level above, which is, I don't know, I have 2 thoughts about this, about doing it. One, it's great to test yourself at the level above, in my personal opinion. But does that always provide you confidence? We talk about refereeing being a confidence game a lot. And I sometimes like dropping down a level to what I used to do. Really build myself up in terms of, I know I can go out and smash that game, and then building back up to the next level, which will be my standard level that I'll be doing at step 3 and step 4, and then maybe one more at a level above if I can get that. Obviously, doing the level above, no matter what level you are, is always going to be difficult, because level 2Bs are going to want to do the 2B games and level 3s are going to want to do the level 3 games, and similarly 4s are going to want to do the 4s.
I think obviously with a lot of a lot of preseason games, you're going to have one team from one step and another team from another step anyway. You're very rarely going to have teams at the same step playing each other because they're very likely to be playing each other in the season. So they're not going to play a preseason fixture against each other, right? Obviously, you might have one Isthmian League team play each other, or two Isthmian League teams play each other, sorry, because one of them plays in the Isthmian Southeast and one of them plays in the South Central, which therefore means they're not going to play each other during the season unless they play each other in a cup competition, which again is extremely unlikely. But therefore, I think it's important to recognise you might have a game that involves a team from the step that you normally referee at, but then maybe one below. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that game. You can't see pre-season just as an opportunity to referee teams that are one step above the level that you currently operate at. It's important that you don't forget, say, where you're coming from sometimes, because some of us only recently having been operating at the level that we were at previously. You might come across one or two of those teams later in the season, in FA competitions, for instance, where you might be lucky enough to have an FA Cup fixture, and the FA Cup fixture you're refereeing is a step 3 or 4 team as a level 3 referee, but the away team might well be a step 5 team who you know from previously. So it's important, I think, to referee across different steps, but again, don't over-egg the pudding and don't give yourself too many pre-seasons.
Yeah, that'd be my advice. Don't do too many pre-seasons, it burns out. And refereeing is a confidence game. Get your confidence back in and then go out and do it. Were you nervous before your first game back?
A little bit. I think a little bit of nerves is good. Partially because you haven't been refereeing for a while. Like you said, between 6 and 8 weeks sometimes in terms of time between last games and the first pre-season game. So for me personally, I think my final game last season was towards the end of April, and this first pre-season game being early July. So it's kind of still plenty of time in between, and you're still finding your feet. So a little bit of nerves is perfectly normal, but I think once you make those first few decisions, or if you nail that first decision, whether that's just something straightforward, throw in, goal kick or something like that, think, okay, cool, I'm back into the rhythm now and everything's just business as usual.
Yeah, I was the same. Well, I was actually brooking it. I can tell you now, I was in a good place, but it was a little bit like, oh my goodness. So it was good to get that first one out of the way. One of the things I noticed was positioning.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yep.
Completely wayward. I felt trapped, I felt lost. And it took me, I think, about 60 minutes to be like, okay, this is where I stand for a goal kick. So have you got any advice about positioning and trying to get back into that swing quickly?
Yeah, as you say, it's difficult. Sometimes, again, because you're refereeing teams of different steps as well, there's different styles of football and different ways that teams play. And they're also trying things out in pre-season as well. So they might do something different to what you would have experienced or what you experienced the previous season. So yeah, in my first game, it was about adjusting because you had one team from one step, one team from another step. So it's step 3 against step 4. And you find that step 4 can sometimes be a little bit more long ball, whereas step 3 is a little bit more possession based. So for me, it was just about adjusting my positioning according to how those teams were trying to play, but also just getting back into that routine of recognising that, because I've got to find a trigger to say to myself, I'm in the wrong position here. And I mean, some triggers are more often than not. If you're running into players, you're in the wrong place. But ultimately, I think it's just about reading the game as best as you can, as early as you can. But sometimes with pre-seasons, if teams are playing slightly different to how they might normally do or how you might expect them to, it's just about adjusting as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah. I'm going to say something controversial here. Sure. And anybody that owns a set of buzzer flags, I am prepared for all the hate that comes.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay, so in pre-season, I choose not to turn my buzzer on for the simple reason that I feel like I go back to basics, and it means I don't get into this lazy habit when, you know, I'm relying very much on the buzzer. It means it forces me to get wide so I can see the ball between me and my assistant, and it forces the communication between us to be better, for the simple reason that, you know, the flags have to go up in terms of making substitutions. I've got to be more alert. So that is something that I know not a lot of people do. They like to get back into the flow of buzzers and be exactly like it is on match day. But I feel like I like to take it one step back to get into my position. What is your thoughts?
I did think that was exactly what you were going to say.
Oh, nice. And predictable.
It surprises me, but we both do the same thing.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure how we've ever not spoken about this, like, off air before, but yeah, we both did the same thing. It's for exactly the same reasons. It's really important to not get into bad habits and just rely on that receiver on your arm going off, because I've had it in games last season where it stops working.
And
what do you do when it stops working? You can't just rely on it. So for when every pass is played forward, you know, you're making sure you're having that quick look over to your assistant at the right time.
Yeah.
Your active assistant, obviously. Making sure you're having a look, because you don't want to get into those bad habits. And pre-season is the perfect opportunity to do that. I mentioned about teams sometimes doing things different and trying things different. It's also about us doing something different as well to make sure that we're going into the season kind of with the best approach possible, after doing a bit of tinkering and experimenting in games where they're kind of less competitive, shall we say, because everybody still wants to win. And in my first preseason game, there's still players who are chirping and having a go sometimes at certain decisions they feel went against them. But yeah, I do exactly the same as you, because it's important to not get into bad habits.
Yeah, and speaking of tinkering and trying new things, we at Ref6 have just obviously launched the new app. So, you know, preseason is a perfect time to get used to using the app, whether that be just using it as a timer like Durso does, because in my opinion, it is the world's greatest referee timer in terms of counting up and counting down. Or if you're like me and want to learn how to use the cards and stuff, preseason is a perfect opportunity where you can do it in a safe space, and people don't really notice it too much. There are no observers, so you can become more comfortable with the app. And if you haven't got the app, click the link in our description, and obviously there'll be a link to the app. The App Store, whatever you use, whether it be Apple or Android. And if you are listening and you haven't gone pro, there is a link there as well, which will allow you to get a special discount if you use the code YouTube.
John's full of surprises today, because not only did I not know he doesn't use his buzzer flags in pre-season, but I've also found out that he gives cards in pre-season as well.
Oh, yeah. I am, without swearing, what am I? A housery person, because if it's a yellow card, it's a yellow card. It's like, I don't actually... There's a lot I've managed. Descent and stuff. And, you know, I've managed what we were talking about in the last podcast, which was delaying the restart. Managed that a little bit better. But if you're going to go out and snap someone, see you later, mate. No way. But that is also a great...
Manage the physical, manage the technical.
Yeah, exactly. But that is a great topic, actually. Not a lot of people give cards in pre-season. Mm. Where do you stand on that? Obviously, we now know where I stand.
it's a difficult one, because laws of the game do not change for any football, whether it's a proper league or cup fixture, or whether it's a non-competitive or friendly fixture. Ultimately, it's we still have to enforce the same laws. There's no different rule book or law book for a pre-season game. And it is a difficult balancing act, and I'm sure that lots of people listening and watching will agree.
It will split the group.
But I do think that tolerance levels probably is the thing that we should talk about in this regard. So tolerance levels might kind of increase a little bit. So you'll be a little bit more tolerant. You'll let a little bit more go.
Yeah.
And you might even say to a player, look, if you do that this time next month, you're going to leave me with no choice but to caution you.
Interesting.
And it's, I guess, that player empathy. Or
that wouldn't be empathy. A referee showing empathy, would it? Or robots?
Of course, no. But it's difficult, because ultimately you don't want to go against the laws of the game.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think is really important is that the laws of the game are a framework. And if we use that framework to our advantage, especially in times like pre-season, then we can obviously kind of interpret the laws in a bit of a different way, where our tolerance levels are increased. And yeah, there are certain things you can't manage. A really bad tackle or violent conduct like that, you have to deal with and appropriately. But for some things like descent, you might just have a bit of word with the player or something, as opposed to pulling out a yellow card straight away.
Yeah, I think a nice way of putting it, which we use a lot, is the spirit of the game.
Yep.
What does the game expect? Does it expect a talking to, or does it expect a yellow card?
And those expectations change for pre-season.
Yeah, and I think the closer you get to the end of the season, the less that tolerance level goes down. So it's like that balancing act, isn't it? The further away you are from the start of the season, the probably more tolerant you are. And the closer you get, the more likely you are to just, like, boys, your season starts next week. You know, we're going to treat it exactly if it is. Any bad tackles, anything, like, this will be exactly how it is next week. And as long as if you lay that out to the players, they're usually quite okay with it.
No, I mean, it's about, as you say, laying it out to the players. So having a conversation with them at the coin toss is a really good opportunity to do that, so that you're setting the expectations properly, and you're, as referees, ultimately we have to sell our decisions, and we've got to pitch our pre-season games and all of our games at the right level.
Yeah.
If we can pitch the game at the right level, you're on to a winner.
Well, that seems like a nice way to round up that section of the podcast in terms of plenty of tips and hints. We've answered a few user questions as well, so that's great. If you've got any questions, let us know in the comments down below as well. But the moment you've all been waiting for is Durso's final three questions.
So, the answers for you from the laws of the game question. So, the first question was around referee awarding a free kick to Team A and a player fainting to kick the ball. The answer is that fainting to take free kick to confuse opponents is actually permitted. Obviously, people who are very clued up on their laws will know that obviously that's not permitted for penalty kicks.
You would have seen that on TikTok, by the way, me disallowing somebody's penalty.
But for free kicks, it's perfectly legal and perfectly fine within the laws of the game. So this does mean that the opposing player has to be cautioned and yellow carded for failing to respect the required distance at the restart of play, which is one of the many cautions that John likes to issue.
Busy.
So the second question, which was around the spectator throwing a bottle onto the field of play towards a player who was running with the ball and was close to the touchline at the time. Obviously, when it comes to refereeing, what is paramount in refereeing is player safety.
Yeah.
So player safety is paramount here. Ultimately, the object has interfered with play and the referee has to stop play, basically. The bottle is, or object is removed from the field of play, and if the match is not suspended or abandoned for safety reasons, play does have to restart with a dropped ball for one player of the team that last touched the ball at the position where that player last touched it. But again, that safety of the players and everyone involved in the game is paramount. So an incident such as this might have to lead to a game being temporarily kind of suspended to then restart later, or even for the game to actually be abandoned, depending on how severe the incident is. And then finally, the goal kick that was awarded to Team A, an opponent entering the penalty area before the ball is kicked and basically fouls a player. The goal kick is actually retaken because the ball wasn't in play at the time of the offence. So in any situation such as that, the play is restarted with what the original restart was due to be. The offending player who actually commits the foul could be yellow carded if the foul is deemed to have been reckless, or could be sent off depending on the severity of the offence, obviously if they endanger the safety of the opponent, for instance. Or, of course, there could be no further action if the foul was careless.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. Hopefully you got 3 out of 3. If not, unlucky. Try again next week. But that has been obviously the two topics that we've covered. We've covered pre-season and we've covered off-season. So obviously now we're going to go into things like yellow cards and, you know, let us know what you want us to cover in the next podcast and we'll sit down, we'll have a chat, hopefully get a couple of guests in this season. But we're looking to take this podcast off again. So thanks very much for listening or watching, whatever you're doing. And please smash that subscribe button so we can grow this channel, get better guests and get more people on this and spread the word and the love and all the learnings. So I will see you guys at the next Ref6 podcast.